Good morning, Texas Tech. Welcome to the first broadcast of our new morning show on KTXT. Today, it's all about the Super Bowl. I'm Joshua Cook.
And I'm Julie Fisher. Coming up, we've got some segments on yesterday's big game, the halftime show, and some of those expensive commercials. And we put those together just for you guys late last night, so y'all should be thankful.
And I'm Marissa Trevino. It was 9 years ago today that Mark Zuckerberg founded Facebook, if anyone was wondering. I owe him a lot of my life, or he owes me a lot of my life back, whichever way you may look at
that. I do not like that man.
And KTXT News is next. Good morning, I'm Kira Powell with a look at your KTXT News update. Two female students were allegedly attacked on Tech campus over the weekend. Tech PD says they were notified February 1st about an attempted sexual assault in West Hall. The victim reported being physically restrained by her roommate's boyfriend inside their dorm. The second attack took place February 2nd in the Z4M parking lot. The student said she heard a male voice just prior to being struck by an unknown object. The victim fled the scene, sustaining minor injuries, however, was unable to provide a description of her attacker. At this time, there is no evidence that the attacks were related. However, campus police encourages students to remain aware of their surroundings and report any suspicious activity. Fire crews are investigating a possible fire at the Alon refinery in Big Spring. According to the Big Spring Herald, multiple units responded to what was first thought to be an explosion Sunday evening. However, officials later said it was a fire and crews were able to put it out fairly quickly. The paper reports no one was seriously injured. However, one man was taken to the local hospital for smoke inhalation. Lubbock is the 19th best-run city in the country. That's according to 24/7 Wall Street's ranking of the 100 largest cities in the United States. Their ranking stated that Lubbock benefits from a stable economy, low unemployment, and increased home value. To know more, visit the best and worst-run cities in America, 24/7 Wall Street. Now let's head over to Cutter Martin for a look at our weather update.
Good morning, Lubbock. Very nice and mild start to the day with temperatures in the lower 40s currently. A little bit warmer down south of us with a few upper 30s being reported across the northwestern South Plains. However, the entire region will warm through the afternoon, approaching highs in the lower 60s, maybe 63 or 64 in the city of Lubbock. Clouds this morning continue to clear out through the day, becoming partly cloudy to mostly clear this afternoon as winds become gusty, possibly gusting upwards of 25 miles per hour. All in all, a very nice day. I'm Cutter Martin with your KTXT weather, and I'm back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech. Josh Cook alongside Julie Fisher, Marissa Trevino, Kira Powell across the way, and also Derek Ginter playing DJ this morning. I got some questions about that, but I really don't know where to start.
That was all me, Joshua.
Wow.
I told y'all.
You don't like the brass monkey?
Be prepared for the bump music today, because I had some fun.
Josh is just used to country music and nothing really
and polka.
Else.
Yes, yes.
You grew up
polka.
With polka.
Mm-hmm. Polka hour.
Interesting.
But like we mentioned in the opening, yesterday was the big game, the final football game of the season of the year. Now we have to wait until September for football game.
Thank goodness. I am so sick of football, you guys.
You have no soul.
You're not American. Get out.
Actually, no.
Just leave. No, but it was the most, I'd have to say it was the most interesting Super Bowl that I've seen in the last couple of years, because not only do you see a team that looks like they're about to run away with this game in the first half, to me, and our first guest, Dr. Glenn Cummins, is going to enjoy this reference, it looked like Alabama looking ready to roll in the national championship. And I was sitting there going, no, not again. I can't take another game like that.
All I've got to say is the first half bored me to tears. Even the commercials weren't that great. And I was like,
wow.
When is this going to be over?
I'm going to be straight up honest with you guys. I'm not going to be able to talk about this because I do not care about the Super Bowl. I anti-care about the Super Bowl.
That's a lot of caring.
Someone needs to tie you down to a chair and make you watch it.
I do think it is awesome that the lights went out.
That was interesting. I think the Twitter went nuts after that. They were saying Beyonce knocked the lights out. Beyonce is a...
Beyonce was amazing.
So I think we have a couple of packages. I know Josh put together kind of a game recap for those of you who were like me and either did not watch it or did not want to watch it. So DG, let's get that first one.
Sunday night's game offered a multitude of headlines heading into the game and the same coming out of it. Entering fans had the best of the AFC and NFC clashing on Sunday night, and the game was worth the watch. In the first quarter, the Ravens struck first with Joe Flacco finding Anquan Boldin.
Flacco, end zone battle, and he's got a touchdown! Anquan Boldin! Touchdown, Baltimore!
Boldin finished with 6 receptions for 104 yards and the 1 touchdown. Ravens not done. With a minute 45 left in the first half, Ravens up 14-3. Flacco finds Jacoby Jones for his 3rd touchdown pass of the night.
And Flacco heaves it down the field. Open as Jones catches it on his back. He can get up. Jones makes the shift. Jones to the end zone, and he's in for the score. What a play by Jacoby Jones.
Niners would kick a field goal right before the half, making it 21-6 in favor of Baltimore. Second half started with a bang, Jones wasting no time to get the Ravens back in the end zone.
So this could be a run back from 9 deep for Jacoby Jones. And look at him go. Jones is past the 50, and he is flying inside the 20. And a kickoff return, 109 yards and a touchdown, an all-time record.
The 108-yard touchdown return tied the longest kickoff return in Super Bowl history. Jones finishing with 56 yards receiving and 206 yards on kickoff returns. Ravens up 28-6, the game looking over until the lights went out. Suddenly in the third quarter, half of the stadium lights went out, causing a 35-minute delay before play could resume. And when it did, here came the Niners. 17 unanswered points, including a touchdown grab from who else but Michael Crabtree.
And Kaepernick again. Zips it in there. Crabtree still on his feet and in for the touchdown.
San Fran would get within 5, 28-23, but the stellar leg of rookie kicker Justin Tucker carried the Ravens to the victory. 2 field goals in the fourth quarter helped seal the deal, as the Ravens are now champions of the NFL with a 34-29 victory.
Yeah, we talk to our guys all the time. It's never pretty, it's never perfect, but it is us. And that was us today, just the way we do it.
You know, we did this for them back home. We had a great send-off, and we can't wait to get back there for the parade.
It's no greater way as a champ to go out on your last ride with the men that I went out with my teammates. And you looked around this stadium, and Baltimore, Baltimore, we coming home, baby. We did it.
Reporting for Good Morning Texas Tech, I'm Joshua Cook.
Okay, Josh, you made that sound way more exciting than the actual game was.
It made me want to cry a little bit. It was so awesome. I'm not going to lie.
I felt like hairspraying my hair and being in Van Halen. All right, Josh, go ahead. Tell us a little bit more about the game.
Yeah, it was just an exciting game from beginning to end. It had everything. It had the drama. It had the almost comeback by the 49ers, and they just fell a little short there at the end. And it's just amazing when you think about throughout the game how big the kickoff return by Jacoby Jones was at the beginning of the third quarter, because without that, we don't know how that game would have ended. So a very exciting Super Bowl, to say the least. There and down in New Orleans, first time in 11 years that they've hosted that Super Bowl. And now, talking about the Super Bowl, talking about Super Bowl parties, our own Faith Pinneger went out and found out what Tech students were doing for the Super Bowl, and here's that package.
Entering Super Bowl Sunday, there are many plans of parties, backyard barbecues, or traveling to one's favorite establishment for sports entertainment to take in the big game. But what were the plans for Texas Tech students for the last NFL game of the season?
We're going to get a projector screen and invite our buddies over and fry and watch the game.
My family is really big into football, but I don't really watch it.
Probably just going out to a friend's house and whatever they're going to do, just sitting around watching Super Bowl, having fun.
To hang out with my friends and eat food and watch the football game.
To watch the game, of course, with my friends and, you know, have a little party, just order food and have a good time.
I just found out yesterday he was playing, so I'm probably not going to be watching it.
I plan on babysitting Sunday night for a family so they can go to a Super Bowl party.
I will not be enjoying the Super Bowl because I have to work this Sunday.
We're having people over at our apartment to eat and watch the game, and I hope the Ravens win.
I'll probably go hang out at some friend's house and watch the Super Bowl in a group.
I have an invite to go watch the game on Sundays, and I'm thinking I might go for the food.
I'm going to watch the Super Bowl at my friend's house, and I'm going for the Ravens.
For this reporter, I plan to watch the game like I do every year and just hang out with friends and have a good time. Reporting for Good Morning Texas Tech, this is Faith Pinneger.
So a little bit of a consensus there. Seems like everybody was either partying for the Super Bowl or working or didn't really care about the game at all. So I think it went three ways.
That's fair. Well, let us know what you did. Tweet us at TheRaider881.
I don't need to tweet. I hate Twitter. I can just tell all of you good people of Lubbock.
What don't you hate, Julie?
Puppies.
Well, that's good. At least, you know, at least you don't. I mean, it just seems like it's one thing or another every time. Every time. This time it's the Super Bowl.
I always have a very good reason. I could tell you why I don't like the Super Bowl. I really don't want to.
All right. Well, coming up in the next segment, we have Dr. Glenn Cummins of the College of Media and Communication to talk more about the big game. You're listening to Good Morning Texas Tech on KTXT The Raider, 88.1 FM Lubbock.
Good morning, starving Texas Tech students. Julie Fisher here with your Campus Grub Report. Alpha Kappa Psi defines themselves as a unique, prestigious association with common interests and goals. They're also recruiting and giving you free food to hang out with them. It doesn't say what kind of food, but if it's in line with their unique, prestigious association, I'm pretty sure you can find some common interests and goals. That grub event runs from 5:30 to 7:30 this Tuesday in the Mesa Room of the Student Union Building. I suggest wearing something fancy. Habitat for Humanity will be offering free pizza and t-shirts at their meeting this Thursday at 7 p.m. This meeting is for members only, but I'd suggest showing up anyway. There may be leftovers, and you could take it as an opportunity to join a great organization here on campus. Habitat for Humanity is the nonprofit group that builds housing for people in need. The meeting is in Holden Hall. Contact the organization for the room number. Okay, now it's your turn. Do you know of any free grub on campus? Give us a heads up. Tweet us and your fellow starving Red Raiders at TheRaider881 and let us know how, when, and where we can feed our starving college bellies for free.
You could earn a master's degree in 1 year with the College of Media and Communication at Texas Tech University. Our 30-hour graduate program prepares you for exciting careers in areas like advertising, electronic media, journalism, media strategies, public relations, and sports media. Courses are available in the afternoons and evening, allowing you to build a schedule that fits your needs. For additional information, including how to apply, visit ttugrad.org.
I'll never let go, Jack. I'll never let go.
Rose wouldn't have had to let go if she'd only listened to KTXT's winter weather alerts with up-to-date emergency weather conditions on the air, Twitter, and Facebook. KTXT Weather will never let you go.
Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech Red Raiders. Josh Cook alongside Julie Fisher, Derek Ginter across the way helping us out, punching the board for us this beautiful morning. We are now joined in the studio by Dr. Glenn Cummins. Let me see if I get his title right here. He's Assistant Department Chairman of Journalism and Electronic Media with the College of Media and Communication and the Director of the Center of Communications Research.
That is so awesome.
I got it. That's awesome. You know, Dr. Cummins, thank you so much for joining us here this morning. I referenced there kind of in the first segment, you're a fan of Alabama.
Sure.
What did you think? Because we were talking during the break a little bit about you thought Alabama, at least this year's team, could play in the Super Bowl and probably win. So
that's the joke I have at the house. My wife's an Auburn grad, and I'm an Alabama grad. We're both working to brainwash the kids. So I was talking to my son yesterday, who's five, and he wanted to know who was playing, and he was kind of disappointed that it wasn't Alabama playing. So I told him, nah, they're not playing in this game, but if they were, they'd probably win it, buddy. So, it was a good game, and you kind of hit on the highlights just a little bit already. I mean, it certainly started off, and it looked like a runaway for the first half for sure. I mean, that was kind of my takeaway. And then when the lights went out, it seems like everything changed after that, and it actually became a game in the second half. So a little bit of something for everybody.
It seems like some reason the 49ers, when the lights go out, they play a little better after that. I guess someone decided, we got to go flip the switch, so the 49ers decide to play. But getting to kind of what your research is around, you talk about a little bit about Mosaic Broadcast, the screen and screen, and they did that a few times last night with the Harbaugh brothers, especially sure. with the two brothers. What are your thoughts on that? Because it was interesting to me that they would show their reaction from the same play, and of course it would be different reactions because they're on different sidelines. But what are your thoughts on broadcast using that style?
Well, I mean, the thing that generally kind of unifies all the stuff that I look at in my research is all the production efforts that you see networks throw at a sporting event. And when you look at how much obviously is thrown into the Super Bowl, you know, you have your usual, your setup, all your usual camera arrays that you would see in a game, but then there's so many more layers of what they throw at it. And I think you saw a lot of that last night, and you talked about the picture-in-picture. I mean, certainly ways to keep the viewing audience engaged in the football game, because, I mean, let's face it, football, you know, there are a lot of lulls in the broadcast where nothing is going on. And so you talk about a contested call, you talk about a timeout. I mean, there's an awful lot of airtime to fill. And so what we saw last night was, you know, the network, you know, throwing everything but the kitchen sink into the game to try and keep everybody, you know, tuned in. And obviously when a game's close, like you saw in the second half, it's not as hard to do. But when you've got a runaway in the first half and it's a very lopsided score, people start to tune out pretty quickly. Maybe not literally tune out, because in the Super Bowl, I mean, we all know there's so many more things that they can watch for. But, you know, the network does what they can. You see the production crew, you know, doing all sorts of tricks and stuff to keep the viewing audience, you know, tuned in, checking, keeping those eyes on the screen.
How long have they been doing stuff like that?
Well, I mean, we've seen, you know, as long as football or sports in general has been on television, every year we see something new thrown at it. So, you know, the picture-in-picture, the tiled broadcasts, all those things are, you know, relatively new, maybe in the last 5 years or so. But you got to think about 5-10 years ago, everybody sitting at home watching, you know, big screen TV back then was, you know, maybe 40-something inches. So if you try and put a lot of things on the screen at once, it gets become so, you know, so cluttered that you can't see it. But now when you got people sitting at home watching on a, you know, a 60-inch, you know, flat screen, there's a lot more real estate to take up with, you know, information graphics, picture-in-picture, all sorts of different things that you can, you know, throw up on the screen. So a lot of what we see in sports is simply an artifact of the fact that we have bigger screens at home, we have more technology that's easier to produce, you know, in real time, as opposed to stuff that has to be done after the fact in post-production.
Well, and I know that a lot of the production that they did do on the Super Bowl, I mean, just visually, it does keep you locked in, because like I said, I don't like football.
Sure.
And there were still some points where I was just staring at the screen because it was so interesting, like you said, seeing the reactions of all the different players matched up against each other. How many cameras would it take to cover the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl, I think I read the other day that they were looking at 60 to 70 cameras. Now, again, keep in mind, not every single one of those is going to be focused on the game, because with the Super Bowl, there's so much going on around the stadium. With the Super Bowl, there was the week-long build-up events there. I mean, you can't talk about a better place to have a Super Bowl, a week-long party, than New Orleans. So you saw the network trying to capture all that stuff that was going on in New Orleans this time of year leading up to the Super Bowl. So when you see all those different cameras, yeah, not every single one of them was focused on the game. We saw a lot of cameras picking up all the, you know, the tailgating and the party going on outside the stadium. So 60 to 70 cameras, you can contrast
That's
that with a typical college game where you're looking at, what, 16, 17 cameras probably for a conference football game. So a lot more layers of production thrown at this event.
Speaking right now with Dr. Glenn Cummins of the College of Media and Communication. If you want to weigh in on this conversation, you can tweet us at TheRaider881. Also, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRaider881, or use the hashtag TheRaider as well. And, you know, one thing you also mentioned, or I was reading about earlier, is that, you know, the Super Bowl has only two teams in it from the 32. And like myself, I am a Cowboys fan that never gets to see his team make it even into the playoffs. Yes, thank you, DG. Someone is considerate here. But it's the fact that there's 111 million viewers every year.
Sure.
And, you know, not every 111 millionth viewer has their team in the Super Bowl. How do they keep these people engaged? Is it just the game itself? Is it just because of the magnitude of it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's clearly a cultural event, and that's one of the things that gets me every year, and I start wondering how much longer can this be sustained? Because, as you said, I mean, 111 million people aren't all football fans. A lot of people are tuning in, obviously, because it's the cultural event. It's the water cooler event that we all can kind of count on year after year. So, I mean, obviously, there's the commercials, there's the game itself. The other thing we see is so much of the buildup in terms of backstory and player stories and all that stuff that leads up to the game. I mean, I tuned in. How long was CBS on the air Sunday doing, you know, simply Super Bowl coverage? I know they started, it was in the morning time they started with their build-up.
It's usually an all-day thing.
Yeah, so it's an all-day thing, and they're talking about all these storylines, and they're doing, you know, behind-the-scenes segments on Beyonce, and, you know, doing the prep and all the choreography that goes into the Super Bowl halftime. So there are a lot of storylines, regardless of whether you're a sports fan, not a sports fan. There are all these different things that people can tune in for, and obviously it kind of unites us all, and you kind of feel like you're left out if you don't at least have some, you know, some exposure to it. You know, whether it's the commercials, halftime, whatever it is, everybody's got something to talk about.
I would agree with that, absolutely, because I feel like I identify with my friends a little bit more.
Well, we appreciate the time, Dr. Cummins, and we'll be back right after this on Good Morning Texas Tech on KTXT The Raider, 88.1 FM Lubbock.
With your KTXT Sports Update, I'm Alana Kiker. Men's basketball trying to get back to the winning ways on Saturday in the USA, Texas Tech taking on West Virginia. Despite pulling within four at one point, the Mountaineers were too much for the Red Raiders, rolling to a 77-61 victory.
First of all, tip your hat to West Virginia. It's very hard to win on the road in this league, and they came in and they took care of business. And the one thing they did, they made shots. That's something we didn't anticipate. Was them making shots, because that's something they struggled with all year, and that actually helped them. Having said that, even though they made shots, I think that we still had an opportunity to win this game.
On the women's side, the Lady Raiders were looking for some payback on Saturday when they traveled to Ames, Iowa. Tech looking to beat Iowa State in their house after losing 58-54 back on January 5th inside the USA, but the Cyclones had plans for the sweep instead. Iowa State downing the Lady Raiders 67-52, Tech falls to 16-6 overall and 6-4 in Big 12 play. Tech is back to the hardwood on Wednesday in the USA as the Lady Raiders face West Virginia, first tip set for 7 p.m. For the first time since the 2009 Big 12 Championships, the Lady Raiders were teeing the ball up at the Rawls Golf Course for a match. Texas Tech taking on Western Texas College on Sunday. Despite the wind and chilly conditions, the Lady Raiders were able to turn in a 20-stroke victory against Western Texas College. Lady Raider tennis making noise this weekend, number 20 Tech taking on number 28 Arizona in Tucson on Saturday. Lady Raiders pulling off a 4-3 win, snapping a 16-match home winning streak for the Wildcats. Then on Sunday, Lady Raiders shut out number 58 Sacramento State 7-0, marking the third straight win over a ranked opponent. This has been your KTXT Sports Update. I'm Alana Kiker. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
Special school, 'cause I am such a fool, and I don't need a single book to teach me how to read. Who needs stupid books?
Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech. Josh Cook alongside Julie Fisher, Marissa Trevino, Kiara Powell, Derek Enter across the way pushing all the buttons this morning. Big thanks to Dr. Glenn Cummins for joining us here in the studio. You can, if you missed that interview, you can catch the entire interview on our website, theraider881.com, later on today. Also, hit us up on social media at TheRaider881 on Twitter, then on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRaider881 or hashtag TheRaider as well on Twitter. But besides the football game last night, there was also the halftime show with the fireworks, the fire, all kinds of different graphics. I don't know what was going on.
Destiny's Child? No, you're forgetting the most important part of the halftime show. The Destiny's Child reunion. Oh. I almost peed my pants. I was so excited, guys.
That was, when I found out that they were going to be there, I was like, you cannot not watch that.
I didn't know. And so I was at a pastor's house, and everybody was really kind of very conservative, and I didn't realize they were going to be. And the minute I saw Kelly Rowland jump out of the stage, I was like, I don't know these songs. I am not singing Bootylicious at all. I don't know what that is, but
well,
I like it. Just a little bit.
Just to compare how awesome this other halftime show was in comparison to all the others from the past, Marissa has put together a wonderful little package of halftime shows from the past. Did you go?
We're going to start off this flashback with Madonna.
Yeah.
shuffling.
And in 2011, we had the Black Eyed Peas.
That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. Tonight's the night. Hey, let's live it up. Yo, I got my money. Hey, let's spin it up. I feel go out and smash. Like, oh my God.
The Who starred in the 2010 halftime show.
For my meals.
Bruce Springsteen joined us in
2009.
And we won't forget about the ever popular Janet Jackson in 2004.
Okay, yeah, Beyonce totally blew them out of the
water.
Yeah,
she did.
I love The Who, but that was not a good performance. And I hate Bruce Springsteen.
I love Bruce Springsteen.
Boo.
All
no.
right, we have a sample of what Beyonce did, and it's not a very good sample. The audio quality is bad, but it still rocks. DG, let's hear it. She was out there to prove something, you guys.
You could tell that she was not lip syncing.
Heck,
she
to
was
the no.
doing great. Her pretty little pant. I could not have done that. I would have been like, I'm dying.
Well, I love it when Beyonce sings, because you know that she is legit at the end of her performance, because she can hardly breathe. She's like, looking in the camera, like, I will fight you.
But she was smiling while doing it. You could barely even tell that she was panting. I would have been on the floor. Get me some water, call 911, let's do something.
The
here.
One thing that I think really blows me away is how many people can say they dance with themselves on stage.
Exactly.
Really? Really.
Exactly. And those two girls that were dressed up like Beyonce when they were doing all of the like pictures of Beyonce, it was so like mind-blowing. Didn't even realize they were there until Kara pointed it out.
It was really creepy. I didn't like that part. But
Josh, what did you
really
think
cool.
about Beyonce? Did you even watch that part?
No, I watched that part. It was a quality halftime show.
I'd say the music
was good. It was a good quality of music. I mean, yeah, I'm trying to be real careful right
mm-hmm,
now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not putting a ring on that. Well, Jay-Z's got
Jay-Z's
that already.
Got that on
Jay-Z's.
Lockdown.
I'm putting a ring on something else. But it was a good show. I think compared to the last few years, and you're losing. I didn't mean it like that. I meant my fiance lives in Dallas. That's
I'm
what I
sorry.
Meant.
Sorry,
gotcha.
You can't,
ourselves, listeners.
You take that completely wrong way.
Okay, let's move on.
Let's keep moving.
DG, this is what I get
here.
For working with these three here. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It was your choice to work with three girls.
You love it.
But
every
no,
day.
I think comparing it to the last few years, it was the best Super Bowl halftime show
agree.
Overall. The audio was good. The performance was good. The stage was good. The fan incorporation was good. And also, get on Twitter and let us know what you thought. If you thought last night's show was the best of all time, tweet us at TheRaider881 or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRaider881 as well.
And we've actually already gotten some responses. Awesome. Sydney Holmes says that Beyonce's act was really good, which can't really...
Thank you, Sydney. We agree.
Yeah, we agree. Just letting you have your little throw out there.
Anything else?
I've decided that I'm going to be Beyonce.
Oh.
This is probably going to be
for
a
Halloween?
Show... No, forever.
Oh.
I'm going to be like those girls.
Oh, you're going to dress up
there.
Like her.
But first, I have to learn how to walk in heels. I can't do that
this
yet.
This is reminding me of put on the lotion. What is that?
Rubs the lotion on its skin.
This is a great time for you all to be our friends on Facebook, because soon we will have a video of Julie Fisher pretending to be Beyonce, and I'm sure everyone will want to see that.
If you like it, you should put a ring on it. I'm just saying.
And I'm not going to, so.
I did dance around my living room when I got home after watching that show to that song.
Away from your youth director and whatnot. You had to get some of that sassy out of your system.
How awkward was that situation? I'm just wondering.
I just had to say, oh, it's a throwback to my youth. I liked those songs.
See, Kiara, that's why I can't come to church with you. Coming up, we've got Kiara with some more news for us. I'm really looking forward to that, and we'll see you in a couple of minutes. But later on the drive home, I called her mom from a payphone. I said I was the cops, and your husband's in jail. The state looks down on sodomy, and that's about the time that she hung up on me. Nobody loves you when you're 20.
Good morning, I'm Kiara Powell with a look at your KTXT News update. Two female students were allegedly attacked on Tech campus over the weekend. Tech PD says they were notified February 1st about the attempted sexual assault in West Hall. The victim reportedly was being physically restrained by her roommate's boyfriend inside their dorm. The second attack took place February 2nd in the Z4M parking lot. The student said she heard a male voice just prior to being struck over the head by an unknown object. The victim fled the scene, sustaining minor injuries, however, was unable to provide a description of her attacker. At this time, there is no evidence that the attacks are related. However, campus police encourage students to remain aware of their surroundings and report any suspicious activity. Lubbock is the 19th best-run city in the country. That's according to 24/7 Wall Street's ranking of the 100 largest cities in the United States. Their ranking stated that Lubbock benefits from a stable economy, low unemployment, and increased home values. To know more, visit the best and worst-run cities in America at 24/7 Wall Street. Here's Cutter Martin with a look at our weather update.
Good morning, Lubbock. A pretty nice day out there. Starting warm this morning with temperatures in the 40s. Will be even warmer this afternoon as we climb to highs in the lower 60s across the South Plains. Maybe a few mid to upper 50s across extreme northwestern zones, but most areas will be warm today. Skies will continue to clear as well, becoming partly cloudy to mostly clear by this afternoon as winds become gustier, perhaps leading to some patchy areas of blowing dust as winds approach the 20 to 25 mile per hour range later today. I'm Cutter Martin with your KTXT weather. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech here on KTXT The Raider 88.1 FM Lubbock. Josh Cook alongside Kiara Powell as J.R. Ginter across the way also pushing all the buttons to make us sound wonderful this morning. Tweet us at The Raider 88.1, also on Facebook.com/The Raider 88.1. We are now joined in the studio by Dr. Ann Rodriguez as a member of the Public Relations and Advertising faculty here inside the college. And Professor Rodriguez, the biggest thing about the Super Bowl, of course, is the commercials, or are the commercials rather. When you look at this game, an average of $3.8 million was spent on a 30-second spot. I mean, is it really worth that much to spend that much on a Super Bowl commercial?
Well, a lot of the advertisers seem to feel that it is, and most of the spots were sold out well before the game, unlike some years. So clearly they felt like they were going to get their money's worth. A lot of the same advertisers year in and year out participate, and it's just a part of their media package that they're going to do every year. And then we sometimes have new ones that come in and out, and some local ads that don't cost that big price tag. They don't pay the big price tag. Right before halftime and right after halftime, there's a big chunk of time for local advertisers, and we had some Suddenlink ad and Cars.com, I think. A couple of really local ads, though, that ran, and they don't pay that kind of money. But still, obviously, think it's worth it for them to get that number, the number of audience members that are going to see it.
Now, as a public relations and advertising professor here, what do you think about their approach to these ads? Because there were some last night that maybe pushed an envelope just a little bit, kind of pushing towards the GoDaddy.com.
Which they always do. Yeah, yeah. No, there definitely were some that were questionable. I will tell you, one of the most popular ones, apparently, with the nation and certainly with the viewers of the Super Bowl, was the Taco Bell retirees sort of living mas on the running for the border or whatever they wanted to say. But it wasn't popular with the folks that I was with, and they're sort of my age group. So I was surprised. That was a little bit edgy because you don't see, you know, they did something, you don't see older people sort of acting that way normally, and that was the point of it. But certainly GoDaddy was very edgy, and it's always supposed to be. And they had previewed that ad online several days before, so we knew that that it was coming, but they hadn't shown the whole thing, so it's kind of interesting.
Well, our own Kara Powell's put together a commercial montage from last night's game, so Derek, we can take a listen to that.
Cracking Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Cracking Gangnam Style.
You know what always kept America moving forward, America?
Change! We didn't like the shape of chickens, so we changed them to nuggets. We grew tired of saying, greetings, dear friend. So we changed it to, sup. We changed man bands into boy bands. We gotta change that back.
I was just gonna fold your clothes for you so they wouldn't get wrinkled.
That's so sweet of you.
I'd fold your panties any day.
What?
What?
I would do anything for love, but I won't do that or that or this. No, not this, definitely not this.
What the heck's the difference between all these phones?
What's LTE? Is it contagious?
Which one fits my face?
Can I use a dongle with this?
Does it make you uncomfortable when I use the word dongle?
That, son, is where babies come from.
But Jake said babies are made when mommies and daddies...
You go, play with us on the bus.
Wheels on the bus go round and round.
We got a great fan of the San Francisco 49ers, Paul. Paul, you got some words for the squad?
Yeah. Let's talk about heart and guts.
You're 49ers! You're mining for victory!
You're not settlers! Settlers churn butter!
So in conclusion, things are pretty dismal.
You know what this room needs? A smile. Who wanna come with I?
Traveling along, there's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
You guys are 3 minutes late.
Don't be no cloud on a sunny day.
Yeah, chill, Winston.
Sir?
Respect, boss man.
We'll make you happy.
That's the power of German engineering.
And you know they're funny when you can continuously laugh throughout an entire montage. Back here with Dr. Ann Rodriguez of the College of Media and Communication. I guess out of, you know, we listen back to that montage. I guess first off, what was your, favorite commercial last time, but the most effective commercial from an advertising standpoint?
Well, it's difficult to say what's most effective. I think that's going to play out over time a little bit. But certainly there were some that were pretty good and very memorable. The Budweiser Clydesdale commercial was quite memorable with the trainer training the baby Clydesdale from an early age. The Tide Joe Montana spot was pretty memorable. I liked the, I know as crazy as it sounds, I liked the pistachio one with the
Gangnam Style.
Yeah. And, you know, that just, again, it's so pop culture-y, you know, people are so into it still that it played well, I think. The Taco Bell one, again, I think pretty memorable.
The one with the elderly people?
Yes.
Is that the one you're talking
yeah.
about? Yeah. That was so random.
See, I didn't really like it, and a lot of people around me didn't really like it, but most of the nation definitely did.
I think it was a lot of uncomfortable giggling when we were sitting.
Maybe that's it, because you're just not, and that was the whole point, though, and people are going to remember it. It's like, what was Taco Bell thinking? But they remember it, and they remember the brand, which is really important for the advertisers.
For a while there, I was confused with that commercial, what it was actually about, because they were just kind of running around gallivanting, so I didn't know what it was about. All of a sudden, they go to Taco Bell, and I was kind of like, and a lot of my friends, you know, I guess between the age of 18 and 24 that we were watching the game, we didn't really like it. We thought it was kind of, this one didn't really work. And then back to the Clydesdale commercial with the, with the horses and Budweiser. You know, it's very hard to sit there in a room of guys and try not to cry when the horse is running towards his trainer.
Gosh.
It's very hard to not do that.
I love that you had that reaction. That's the exact reaction that Budweiser wants you to have.
Do you feel like
when a commercial is more dramatic or more comedic, it's more effective. Which of those two?
It's really hard to say, but for many advertisers, they believe that comedy plays best. And certainly during the Super Bowl, when you've got people in groups, at parties, with alcohol involved sometimes, you know, comedy works and it's infectious. People will say, hey, that's funny, and I think it's funny too, and then they're all of a sudden laughing together. So probably comedy works best, but you have to be careful. It needs to be not just a joke. It needs to be humor. And there's sort of a difference. You know, there's a one-shot joke, but that's not going to last. You need something that's humorous where we'll continue to laugh about it.
Talking about commercials, you know, you go from the spectrum of the funny ones to the emotional ones, and then there were some serious commercials in there as mm-hmm. well. You know, we saw, I think maybe for the first time in my recent memory, that we saw such an array of commercials in one Super Bowl, because usually they kind of go for the comedic side. What did you think about the more serious commercials that were involved?
I actually liked some of the serious commercials this time, and some of them were much longer than the traditional 30-second spot as well. Dodge had that Farmers mm-hmm. commercial that was quite serious, and then they had the USO
the Jeep
commercial. One mm-hmm. right with the Oprah voiceover, which was really pretty effective and quite long. I'm gonna guess it was like 2 minutes. It was very long.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it captured your attention. It kept you, and a familiar voice helps, you know. And then these very sort of patriotic symbols that you're looking at in graphics and photographs. So I think that was pretty effective. That we were talking about that farmer ad, the Dodge one, and Twitter went crazy with that. There were millions of mentions of Farmers immediately upon that ad being on the air. So it clearly was fairly effective.
It was an interesting ad, especially because, you know, I grew up around a farming community and everyone farmed there. And even in West Texas, here with Lubbock, it's a
Absolutely.
Very big farming community. And there were some people, I think maybe... Now, it's not against anybody from the Metroplex, but there's, you know, students from the Metroplex that were kind of like, well, why are we doing this commercial? And then there was the people from West Texas or the folks from a small town that were very touched by that commercial. And I thought it was very well shot. It was very well put together.
Yeah,
it was
beautiful.
It was pieced together very well. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those pieces that I thought was very well. And Marissa Trevino over in the news booth has some comments about the commercials as well.
Now, I can agree that people in the Metroplex don't really get it because I'm from Houston, and I was like, okay, well, when is this going to be over? I don't really want to listen to this. I'm all about the, like, funny commercials, and I was totally not into that Farmers commercial at all.
She had said the funny – she wasn't into the Farmers commercial, just being from Metroplex. She had she was more into the funny commercials.
Right, right. And a lot of people feel that way. And I think it has a lot to do with sort of where you are and what the environment is that you're watching the game in, too. And again, it's a very social environment, and I think that sometimes affects how you feel about the commercials. Although I honestly think that sometimes if you go back and watch them again, I actually went back and watched Super Bowl for a second time last night mm-hmm. and watched just the commercials. And I got a lot more... I realized a lot more about the commercials, and I think I liked that Farmers commercial much better the second time I saw it.
Now, with commercials like the USO, the Jeep commercial, do you feel like, I had some friends who were really cynical about it, and they didn't like it because they felt like they were kind of manipulating you, playing on your heartstrings
a little bit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think those commercials affect buyers?
For the most part, I think if you look across the board, maybe not with the folks that you were maybe watching the Super Bowl with, but if you look across the board at all the nation, I think it's going to play pretty well. I think, again, it captures a sense of patriotism and maybe even a little bit of guilt that we have to continue to think about these folks in our country that are fighting for our freedoms and all this sort of dramatic stuff that she was saying. But it's pretty effective, and I think the more you listen to the message, the more you probably, mm-hmm. if you're not emotionally affected by it, you at least intellectually think, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, always tweet us at TheRaider881 on Facebook.com/TheRaider881 as well. Got some reaction here from actually one of the professors here in the college, Jared Foster, tweeting in, glad to hear A-Rod on the air. The Oreo SM response to Lights
yes.
Out was the ad winner in my opinion. Big thanks to Jared Foster for listening to Good Morning.
Yes.
Take a little shout out there to Professor Rodriguez as well.
Thank you, Jared. And you know what? That he is absolutely right. That's one of the things I wanted to mention. One of the best parts of the evening, and perhaps the most effective thing, was when the power went out, there was no commercial spots that were being shown. There were some promotional. There was one commercial break, and there were some promotions, CBS promotions, but no commercials. But immediately on the social net, in the social network sphere, Oreo came out with an ad that said, "You can still dunk in the dark," which was great. Oh, I mean, so smart. Wow. There was one, and Jared, I hope you remember. There was one company that said, "We can sell you some LED lights," and I can't remember for the life of me what brand it was, but it was so great about, "Hey Mercedes-Benz Superdome, you know, we can sell you some LEDs." What was really funny, though, to me is you talk about visual communication. The first thing I noticed when the lights went out, every camera shot had that Mercedes-Benz logo that's on the very top of the ceiling in the Superdome, and all you could see was lights out, epic fail of the Super Bowl, and Mercedes-Benz logo right next to it. I thought, that is not good advertising from Mercedes-Benz.
Man, Mercedes-Benz got it last night, because that was the one shot they kept showing over and over, because it's the one shot that showed the lights actually
half on, half
going
off,
out,
right.
too.
Yep.
And talk about bad placement of that advertisement.
Yeah, it really was. Unintentionally.
That, and then their commercial, too, like, got a lot of controversy around it with the model in the car wash. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember that one.
I don't remember it either. That's terrible. Wow.
I do remember the Jeep one, and one comment I wanted to make about that was, my friend actually owns a Jeep, and after the commercial, he said, "Is it weird that I feel proud to be an American that I own a Jeep now?"
No, I think that's fantastic.
And I was like,
it's exactly what they want.
That's exactly what they want. But I don't know if, you know, like we talked, I don't know if anyone's running out to a Jeep dealership today and buying themselves a brand new Jeep.
Maybe not, but people might be talking about Jeep, and he might be saying that to a variety of other people. "Hey, I feel pretty proud to own a Jeep." And that can just sort of slowly have a trickle effect, and people, maybe the next time they're in the market for a car, Jeep is at least at the top of their mind, and that's what Jeep was hoping for.
Go ahead.
I guess last night, if you have to give maybe a grade overall to the Super Bowl commercials as a whole package, what would you give them?
I was a little bored with them overall, so to me, I don't think it was the best Super Bowl ever for advertising, although there's been sort of a downward trend. So it maybe was the same as last year. I wouldn't say it was necessarily worse, but it certainly wasn't better. Although some of the, if you look at the numbers, some of the best ads in terms of ratings early this morning were the two consumer-generated Doritos ads.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't love them, but a lot of people did, and they were made by fans. They were consumer-generated rather than paid for by Doritos. So that the goat one and the men dancing.
Oh, see, I didn't realize that the goat one was.
Yeah, it was consumer generated. Yeah.
At all.
And then the men dancing, having the dress up party
with
the girl.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Well, appreciate your time coming in this morning, talking to us on Good Morning Texas Tech. And of course, we'll be back right after this break. You're listening to Good Morning Texas Tech on KTXT The Raider, 88.1 FM Lubbock.
Listen up, Red Raiders, for what is happening around campus this week. Need to improve your networking skills? Well, you're in luck, because there will be a networking seminar Tuesday from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. in Presentation Room 150 at the Wiggins Complex. The Law School will be hosting a Q&A this Tuesday from 11 to 1:30 p.m. at the Barnes & Noble in the Sub. TAB is hosting a free pizza night this Wednesday. Yep, that's free pizza at Mr. Gaddy's, Wednesday from 6 to 9:30 p.m. Make sure you bring your student ID to the Mr. Gaddy's on 50th and Slide. The blood drive is back Thursday from 11 to 2 p.m. in front of the Sub. Get your good deed done and help save 3 lives by donating blood. If you're looking to join a new organization, Habitat for Humanity will be having their first meeting this Thursday at 7 p.m. in Holden Hall. There will be free pizza. For a complete list of community and campus events, check out our website at www.ktxtfm.org.
Just rolling through the streets of Lubbock, keeping us safe, and listening to KTXT, The Raider 88.1. I've never listened to anything else, and I'll never have to.
The first
first annual Texas Tech Appathon is coming up February 22nd and 23rd, hosted by the College of Media and Communication and the Whitaker College of Engineering. The first annual Texas Tech Appathon will challenge students to create the perfect app for the popular on-campus game, Humans vs. Zombies. Visit ttuappathon.com to register now.
Red Raider Nation, this is head football coach Cliff Kingsbury, and you're listening to your student radio station, KTXT, the Raider 88.1.
Welcome back, Red Raiders. You are listening to the very first episode of Good Morning Texas Tech to go live on KTXT FM.
And before we say anything else, can I just say it makes me proud to be a Red Raider when I hear Cliff Kingsbury come on.
You are such a girl.
Oh, I love him so much.
Are you just proud because he has a pretty face, Marissa?
You know what? He's going to be a great coach. Look at what he did to A&M. He's going to be great.
On my way here, I actually saw Chrome. I think it's Chrome has an advertisement for those Cliff Kingsbury shirts. Yep. They have a picture of him in the headset. And at first, I thought he was singing into a microphone. We have made him into a rock star god in this town. I feel kind of bad for the guy.
I thought you were going to say, I saw Cliff Kingsbury, and I was going to be like, oh my God, where?
No, I would have called you.
Marissa's new segment would have started right there. That would have been the beginning of Keeping Up with Cliff.
Spotted. Yes.
Spotted?
Keeping Up with Cliff.
Wow.
Or Keeping Up with Cliff. Or Cliff Notes. Anything that you... This is a great time to say, if you have any ideas for the show, what do you want to hear? This is your student radio just as much as it is ours.
And that's kind of the point of this whole show, is to give you Texas Tech students a program that you can listen to about Texas Tech that's actually interesting. Something that keeps you engaged, because we are Texas Tech students, and I know what I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But we want to know, what are y'all interested in? What are some of your beefs on campus? What are some of your favorite things about going to Tech? What classes are your favorites? I don't know. Just say anything to us. You can hit us up on the Raider 881 on Facebook or on Twitter.
And that might be a little bit hard for me to talk about because I personally hate everything about learning. But this is fun.
you probably should not say that.
Don't say that, Marissa.
I love learning. It just
I'm here, but...
I love learning, but I do not like tests.
I love tests.
No.
I am so good at tests.
No, I still don't like learning or tests.
Well, getting back to the professors that we had on today, big thanks to Dr. Glenn Cummins and Dr. Ann Rodriguez for stopping by today and joining us. If you missed any of those interviews, they will be posted later on theraider881.com, also our Facebook and Twitter, so you can listen to those interviews in their entirety.
And if you're not our friend on Facebook, you should be our friend because we're pretty cool.
How dare you guys?
Like us, KTXTFM. Well, actually, it's facebook.com/theraider881. And on Twitter, it's theraider881. So follow us.
We want
like
more
us.
Friends than KCBD.
Because you're missing out on a lot of cool opportunities, like to tell us what you want to hear on Flashback Fridays, which started last week.
And to give us information on free food on campus, because I don't know if y'all heard the Grub Report, but it is up to me to feed the hungry people of this university. And I can't do it unless you tell me where all the free food is.
And I like free things, just in general. Everything that's free is good. Julie got free coffee and didn't share it with anyone.
I did. And whoever did that for me, I was at the Starbucks on University and 82nd Street at about 6:45 this morning. If you did a pay it forward for a medium coffee and a breakfast sandwich, God will bless you, because you don't know how much that mattered to me as a college student who is poor but has to live off of expensive coffee. Thank you.
You got a breakfast sandwich too?
Maybe. Hey, I brought donuts. Let it go. You're fine.
You know,
you were provided for.
There's like one donut left. He ate all of them.
Now he's going to show us the box.
Problem.
Proof.
There's 3 of 6 left, I believe.
I'm getting fat on the smell of the donuts in the studio. Y'all need to finish these off.
I'm sorry. They're United. They're good.
You're getting like secondhand inhalation there.
Okay.
So secondhand we've been in class for like how many weeks now? How many?
Three.
What do y'all think? How are y'all doing? Oh, that's not good.
It's not good. It's not good at all.
I think it's just mainly getting the gears going again. I think by about 4 or 5 weeks in, you're fine. I think it's just coming back from the Christmas break, you know, because the biggest difference for me between, you know, high school and college was high school, you only had like 2 weeks off. College, you have a month off.
It's so great.
Before you come back. So you get time to recharge your battery, but when you come back, it's really hard to kind of get back in that groove again. At least for me, it is.
It is, but I love all of my professors, do not get me wrong, but I feel like sometimes they don't realize that everyone else is also giving massive amounts of homework, and I feel like they team up. It's like a tag team thing. Haha, let's see how much we can give her before she dies. And I don't appreciate it.
So dramatic, but I agree. My biggest problem with school has been I have not purchased a single textbook yet. Professors who have me, please forgive me, but that's my biggest problem. Like, my economics course, still haven't.
Well, you can't afford them. That's part of the problem.
I spent over $400 in textbooks. Ask me how many I've used.
None.
Two.
It makes
how,
me
how many
still
did
you
buy?
I bought 5, I think, maybe 6.
Goodness
I also
gracious.
Bought a pair of sweatpants that I just got about.
Oh,
okay. Is that where part of the $500
went? Was it
that's
like...
Okay, sweatpants are only $40.
Only
$40.
They are the most comfortable things. I will wear them every day if it will make
Cliff
me happy.
Cliff Kingsbury sweatpants?
They are not Cliff
on
Kingsbury.
On the butt it
says, I heart you, Cliff.
Oh, my God.
That would be
I am making you a pair. That's such a good
creepy.
Idea.
I will not wear them. Thank you, Julie.
You had to remind me, because after this, I said earlier to one of my friends, I said, well, I got to go buy my textbooks today. I put it off this long. Now I got to go buy them. And the thing that upsets me the most, honestly, is when you hear the ads for these bookstores, they say we have the best buyback policy, best buyback prices. When you try to sell your books back, they give you like 10% of what the book is, or they say you can't buy it back. That's a joke. Do not put that ad out there if you're not going to buy our books back.
Yes, it is a joke.
A book costs $150. They're going to give you $5 back.
Exactly.
And say, enjoy your McDonald's.
And then they're going to turn around and sell the book for $70.
I will enjoy my Big Mac, thank you.
But you can rent books now, and this is the only year that I haven't rented books, and I feel so stupid because I literally usually pay $150. Mm-hmm. This year I paid $450, yep. Including the sweatpants, so $410.
Including the sweatpants.
Tech students, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're freshmen and you've never done this college thing before, Amazon.com is your best friend when
or
you
Chegg.
Buy books. I bought my statistics book for $1.50, and it may have had nacho cheese on it. But that doesn't matter. It still worked. I used it. I learned.
Did you get it on time, though? That's the problem with buying online, is sometimes you don't get
it
in online.
It's still cheap.
You can just scrape that cheese off.
Oh, and eat it for later?
I remelted it.
Absolutely disgusting.
You cannot
be picky. You are turning my stomach right now. Josh is done. Threw the pencil, arms in the air.
That's it.
He's ready for a show wrap.
I think that kind of does it for us today. We really do appreciate y'all listening in, and any feedback that you give us, we 100% appreciate. We'll be here every Monday and Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, and you guys,
we appreciate
keep it real.
You. We love you.
Thanks for listening.
It's slow roll.
For Josh Cook, Marissa Trevino, Kira Powell, and Derek Ginter, I'm Julie Fisher. Y'all take care.
Good morning, Lubbock. A pretty nice day out there. Starting warm this morning with temperatures in the 40s. Will be even warmer this afternoon as we climb to highs in the lower 60s across the South Plains. Maybe a few mid to upper 50s across extreme northwestern zones, but most areas will be warm today. Skies will continue to clear as well, becoming partly cloudy to mostly clear by this afternoon as winds become gustier, perhaps leading to some patchy areas of blowing dust as winds approach the 20 to 25 mile per hour range later today. I'm Cutter Martin with your
You could earn a master's degree in 1 year with the College of Media and Communication at Texas Tech University. Our 30-hour graduate program prepares you for exciting careers in areas like advertising, electronic media, journalism, media strategies, public relations, and sports media. Courses are available in the afternoons and evening, allowing you to build a schedule that fits your needs. For additional information, including how to apply, visit ttugrad.org.
1 hour of news and analysis of the big global stories of the day.
Our top story takes us to Iran.
We go first to the US state of Colorado in the first
quarter. This is NewsHour with Owen Bennett-Jones, and coming up in
NewsHour's Lise Doucette sent this report from the
We'll be finding out what this means for people in the Arab world's most populous
1 hour of your day, and one of the most informative. NewsHour, daily from the BBC.
The BBC World Service, weekday mornings from 5 to 9, here on The Raider 88.1.
I love you like peaches.
This is The Raider 88.1 KTXT FM Lubbock. For questions and comments, email raider881@gmail.com. That is R-A-I-D-E-R-881@gmail.com.
I'm up in a tree.